In this shiur, which will begin with Parshas Miketz and will move into Chanukah and maybe overlap a little bit into Parshas Vayigash, we'll speak about Chanukah as well, especially the halach of Ribui Se'udah on Chanukah. And we'll see that in Shulchan Aruch there is a basis for Ribui Se'udah on Chanukah. We'll see how the Ramah embellishes and qualifies that halach of Ribui Se'udah on Chanukah. And the, in a sense, the shakaru here, as we start this discussion, is that the remez, and this you'll find even in Rishonim, the allusion and the hint to the Se'udah of Chanukah actually appears in Parshas Miketz. Maybe that doesn't surprise us totally, because Miketz coincides very often with Chanukah, as it did this year. In Perek Mem Gimel, Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayar Yosef Itam Es Binyamin, Vayomer La Asher Al Beiso Havei Es Hanashim Abaisa, Utvoach Tevach Vehachen, Ki Iti Yochlu Hanashim Mitzorayim. Yosef sees Binyamin with them, and he said to the one in charge of the house, bring the men into the house, have meat slaughtered, prepare it, for with me will these men dine at noon. And the Shilte Giborim, in the second Perek of Shabbos, Perek Bamem Adlikin, finds in this pasuk, based on Gematria, a remez, an allusion to Sudas Chanukah. He says, if you look at these two words, utvoach tevach, there are actually seven letters in these two words together. But if we take a look at the next word, v'hachen, we can really begin to make interesting combinations, says the Shilte Giborim. He takes the ches, which is the last letter in the word tevach, and he connects it with the word v'hachen, which follows it. Now, if you take it's very easy to work this out. If you take the word v'hachen, it actually has within it four out of the five letters of Chanukah. Leave out the ches, but it has the nun, the vav, and the chaf hey. So you're only missing the ches, which he picks up with the last letter, which is contiguous to v'hachen, the last letter of the word tevach. So you've got the ches of tevach, and you've got the v'hachen, which has the last letter of which is nun. So you've got ches nun, then you have the first letter of vachein, which is the vav, and then you have the hey and the chaf and the hey, which is Chanukah. So in this meal, which Yosef had the Isha Shar al Beiso prepare for the brothers, for the Shvatim, that meal has within it a remez to a different meal, and that is to the meal of Chanukah. There's even another remez, says the Shilte Giborim, because if you take the word utvoach, which opens up this phrase, and then you take the two letters that were left out when we had the word tevach and we took the ches to attach it to the vachem to create Chanukah, let's leave out the ches, it's already used up. So we're talking about utvoach teva. So if you take those letters and you calculate them, the vav of utvoach is 6. Then you have the bays of, I'm sorry, the tess that comes afterwards, together with the bays, and then which is 2, and then the ches is 8. We'll just work this out very quickly. So we have the word utvoach, which is 6, 2, 9, and 8, and then we add to it the tes and vase of tevach, the next word after which comes to 11. So if we had 11, 6, 2, 9, and 8, we get 36. And that is a remez, of course, to the 36 candles of Chanukah. And the question that we want to raise here is, since this remez is pretty stunning in terms of gematrias, as gematrias go, I would give this a pretty high score. What is the connection between these words, these letters, and Seudas Chanukah. Seudas Chanukah, by the way, is codified in the Shulchan Aruch, not as an obligation. He writes in Simon Tofresh Ein Ribui HaSeudos Shemarvim Heim Seudas Rishus Shalom Kavum L'mishta U'lesimcha, meaning Chanukah as opposed to Purim was not established as a day of Mishta. Again, the Rambam does have Simcha at the Rambam at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah, which might be a reference to Mishta and Seuda, because Simcha usually is identified with Seuda. But be that as it may, although the Shulchan Aruch classifies the Seuda of Chanukah as Seudas Rishus, if you look in the Mechaber, he extends it a little bit further. He pushes the envelope. He says, "Yesh Omer, Yesh Omrim, Sheish Ktsas Mitzvah Beribui Seudos." He says that Chanukah does represent a day of Seuda, insofar it is the day that coincides with Chanukah's HaMizbeach. These are the days in which the Chashmonaim came into the Migdash and they rededicated the Mizbeach, which was already contaminated by the Yevonim. So these were days of Chanukah's HaMizbeach. And in that regard, there is a Kiyum Seuda of Ribui Seuda on these days, but he calls it Ktsas. I think what he means by Ktsas perhaps is that it's not obligatory, it's not a Chiyuv. It doesn't reflect the essence of the day, but on the other hand, it is a Kiyum, it's meaningful. And to embellish this and upgrade it to the level of a full-fledged Seudas Mitzvah, the Ramah adds, V'nogim lomar zmiros v'ushvachos, or tishvachos, b'seudo shemarbim bohem v'oz ha'visudas Mitzvah. So if you enhance and embellish this Seuda on Chanukah with zmiros and tishvachos, then it certainly takes on the status of a Seudas Mitzvah. So we start with the Seuda of the brothers, which Yosef prepared for the brothers. He hosted the brothers when they came before him, and that's Utvach Tevach Vachem. And that was a Fleishik Kamil, by the way, which connects now to the Seuda of Purim, of Chanukah, which, although Seudas Purim is a Chiyuv, it's an absolute obligation. These were days of Mishter. Chanukah, it's not an obligation, but there does seem to be a kiyum of Seuda, a special kiyum, a mitzvah of Seuda on Chanukah. And that has to be enhanced in order to upgrade it to a full-fledged Seudas Mitzvah status by Zmiros V'Tishbachos. What I'd like to study with you, if we put the concept of Seuda on the side, whether it be the Seuda of Parshas Miketz, the Seuda of Chanukah, to study an insight, a very beautiful presentation of the Chassam Sofer in his Pirush al Torah. Here it appears in Parshas Toldos. And he speaks about the relationship between Yitzchak and Rivka in Parshas Toldos, because the Parsha begins with Vayoser, the tfilos of Yitzchak and Rivka, respectively. And what is the connection between Yitzchak and Rivka and tfilah, and the sod of tfilah? Again, there are a lot of different gematrios here and tzirufim, but I just want to point that up front, that if you look at the last tefillah before Kriyat Shema that we recite on Shabbos and Yontif, it says, "Befi Yisharim Tisramam V'sivsei Tzadikim Tisbarach Tisbarech U'bilshon Chasidim Tiskadosh V'kerev Kedoshim Tishalol." So you'll notice in some of the Machzorim and some of the Sidurim, the first letter of the second word in each of these lines, Befi Yisharim Tisramam, so the second word is Yisharim, and you'll see that the Yud is written in a large letter, which usually means that there's some sort of significance to that letter, and it connects to other letters. So if you go up and down, Ubisivsi Tzadikim, the word Tzadikim starts with the Tzadi, Ubishon Chasidim, Chasidim starts with the Ches, and then Bekerf Kedoshim, Kedoshim starts with the Kuf. So the Yisharim, Tzadikim, Chasidim, and Kedoshim form, if you take the first letter of each of those words, Yitzchak. And then moving on to the third word in each of these four sentences, you have Befi Yisharim Tisromam. If you take the third letter in each of this third word, you have Tisromam, you have Reish, and then Besivsi Tzadikim Tisborech, you have the Beis. In the Bilshon Chasidim Tiskadosh, the Kuf is enlarged. The third letter in Tiskadosh is Kuf. And then Bekev Kedoshim Tishalol, you have the Hey. And again, in the Machzorim, I have one in front of me. Those letters are enlarged, and Resh Beis Kuf Hey forms Rivka. So you've got in the middle section going up and down Yitzchak, and then in the last section you have Rivka. Says the Chasam Sofer Yadua B'Sifrei Amakubalim the Yitzchak veRivka who Ikar Sod Hatfila. Together they form one entity, Yitzchak and Rivka. Yisharim, Tzadikim, Chassidim, Kedoshim, and then Tisromim, Tisbarach, Tiskare, Tiskadosh, and Tishalal, they form the Sod, perhaps the secret, the deeper meaning of Tefillah. And in fact, he says it goes beyond that, because the name Yitzchak, if you take the Kuf at the end of Yitzchak, and then you have the Yud and the Tzadi at the beginning of Yitzchak, that equals 200, and yet the Ches is 208. The Gematria of Yitzchak is 208. The Gematria of Rivka, because if you take the Kuf of Rivka, which is 100, together with the Resh of Rivka, 300, add the 5 and the 2 is 307. If you add Yitzchak 208 to Rivka 307, you get 515. And 515, of course, is the magic number with regard to Tefillah, because Tefillah is Bigmatria 515. That's because the Tuf of Tefillah is 400. The Pei is 80. Add the Hay at the end is 485. Add the Lamin, which is 30. 30 plus 485 is 515. So 515 is equal to Yitzchak plus Rivka. And also the word Vaischanan is Bigmatria 515, representing the 515 Tfilos of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is what we saw before in Befiyashan Tisromam, that if we take the Yud, Tzadi, Ches, and Kuf as the first letters of the second word in each line, and then we take the Resh, Beis, Kuf, Hey, and the first letter, the third letter of each of the third words in each line, we end up with Yitzchak and Rivka as a reference to Tefillah. And the Chasam Sofer embellishes this by saying the following. V'yadua, he says that Esav mechuna b'shem Veshet, Al Vayivez Esav es habachora, and in Ukulis, the translation of Vayivez is Vav Shin Tuf. The Veshet, of course, is the esophagus that brings the food down to the stomach. And Esav is here compared, in this context, to a Veshet, Shemakabal Kolbini Machal V'Tanugim. Esav is the paradigm of someone who wants to enjoy food. He has a passion for eating. And of course, eating here is representative of all Tanugim. And then the Pasuk V'Yadayim Yidei Esav means that Esav in his Yadayim is trying to grab more and more, take more and more of the pleasures of this world. Yaakov, on the other hand, is Hakol Kol Yaakov. The Kol, or the voice, represents the other Simon. In other words, instead of the Veshet, the Kana is the windpipe that brings the air and allows you to speak. He says that the Kana of Yaakov represents Tefillah. And if Yaakov would be Mispalel, Hayim Yoresha Kol Bonav Yu Mechunim Veshet Mitzad Achi Ha'em Yu Rishoyim. What was motivating Yaakov to Tefillah? And the answer is that his children would have two different grandparents, two different sets of grandfathers, two different, shall we say, ancestors. And the question is, who do you choose? What that means is that on the side of Rivka Valea, you know, you've got Besuel and Lavan and all these Rishoyim, whereas on the side of Yaakov and his parents, you've got the Tzadikim, you've got Yitzchak and Rivka. V'yemavakesh yilo gam zera sheyechuna b'midas kana. He was praying that his children, his offspring, like he himself, Yaakov himself, would be the midah of Kana, of Hakol Kol Yaakov, as opposed to the Veshet of Esav, and the Veshet of Besuel and Lavan. And therefore, Hirba v'hiftzir l'madregas tfil shenikreis ayin tof resh atar v'yetar, which is the highest level of tefillah. So Yaakov Avinu is dedicating himself to the most profound levels of tefillah. He says, v'hine im nachshov yisron shal cheshben ayin tof resh al cheshben shal tefillah. If we subtract ayin tof resh from tefillah, the ayin tof resh, of course, it represents 670. So if atar, which is the highest level of tefillah, is 670, and you subtract tefillah, which is 515, what you're left with is kaneh, which means 155. So let's see if that mathematics works out. We'll take a break for that for a second. So 670 minus 515 is 155, which is the gematria of kana. And basically what Yaakov is trying to accomplish through his level of tefillah is to get to that kana. And really the power of Vayetar is the power of transforming the midah of din into the midah of rachamim. And you'll take a look in the sugya and sukkah on daf yudalit. Lachin ksiv and ifrit says, Vayetar lo Hashem, velo la. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu respond to the tefillah of Yitzchak rather than the tefillah of Rivka? Demi kocha nolad aveshet velo hakana. Because what Rivka introduces into the marriage relationship, into the blood, into the tolada, meaning the hereditary DNA structure here, is the veshet, rather than the kana. And that's what's called a tzaddik ben rasha, or in this case, a tzaddikes bas rasha. So the Yetar, which has within it the power, as we saw before, of Kana, is more powerful in the case of Yitzchak, because Yitzchak represents the Kana, whereas Rivka represents the Veshet, insofar as she comes from the Rishoyim, from Besuel, from Lavan, and the Rishoyim represent the paradigm was Esav by Kana, and Hashem accepts the Tefillah of Kana, of Kol Kol Yaakov, of the Tzaddik ben Tzaddik in the case of Yitzchak, Vayetar lo, rather than the tzadekes bas rasha of kane, of veshet, in the case of Rivka. And therefore, says the Chasam Sofer, the pasuk of Vayetar, of ayin tof resh, only appears with regard to Yitzchak, not with regard to Rivka. Hashem's response is the response of the tzadik ben tzadik. We find a Gemara in Masechta Tainis, Ein Masichin Besuda, we don't speak during the course of a meal, Shemayakdim Kana Leveshet. That's a very dangerous thing. He can really choke. And the Chasam Sofer embellishes this by saying that when a person sits down for a Suda, he really faces a great challenge. And that is because the Michael, the Tanug of the Gufia, the physicality becomes primary, or could become primary, and that comes from the Veshet. But what he has to do is to convert and transform this Suda to a Suda of a Kana, to a Suda of, I need to eat for the service of Hashem, I need to be healthy, so that I can use my kochos, my energies, to be an Ovid Hashem. And then the Chasam Sofer adds the following line. He says, "V'ein kedima b'maylas limud haTorah min maylas achila lechvod haBorei Yisbarach." He says that to the same extent we speak about Torah as having a great mayla, Torah is really through the intellect a tremendous spiritual achievement on the highest level. But nevertheless, achila, if it's done properly for the sake of the honor of Hashem, for the glory of God, that is not less important in its Maila. Just like you elevate yourself in a pure spiritual intellectual realm through Limud Torah, you can elevate yourself through the physical realm, in the physical realm, through an achila which is done lichvod bori yisbarach. The problem with Esav as a representative of Veshet is that he completely disconnected the achila from the kvod Hashem yisbarach. And therefore his achila would always remain Veshet and could never be elevated to the level of Kana. And therefore he is violating of he's being mocked in Veshet Lakana. But the tzaddikim, whose kavana is totally dedicated to Hashem, l'kvod Hashem, their eating has sanctity, just like their learning. And even though, let's read the Chassam Sofer's language, Kedimas Hazman, Yesh Lavodas Hashem, Shlo Yikola Rov Hazman Bachilu Shesia, and even though God wants to find a balance and one wants to use his time properly, organizing in such a way that some of his time would be dedicated to Avodas Hashem, he shouldn't use up all his time to the Avodah of Achila. So Rov of his mind, the large bulk of his time is dedicated to Torah and Tefillah. But nevertheless, the ultimate goal through the Torah and Tefillah is to use his time for Achila in the proper way. He shouldn't be Magdim, the Veshet Lakana. He's Magdim the Kana of Torah and Tefillah, to the Veshet of Achila. And by setting up this priority of Kana first, meaning Torah and Tefillah set first, and then Veshet, by limiting his time and his pleasure from Veshet and only experiencing the Veshet, the physicality, through the Makdim Hakdomas Hakana, meaning through Torah and Tefillah, then what's going to happen as a result of this is he's going to elevate his Kana, his Achila, to a level that really completes. He's going to be elevating his Veshet, by Hakdomas, by Kedimas Kana Veshet, by Torah and Tefillah first, and then Veshet. He's going to elevate his Veshet and integrate it into this process of Kana Veshet. It's the Avodah of Torah and Tefillah reaches its fruition, its completion, with the Avodah of Achila. V'zeh ein v'yodeinu lahaktim ki mishe yichavi l'chvod abori ha'kol shovim b'kedusha rak lo bizman. Even though it's true that someone during that time period in which he dedicates himself to an achil l'kvod shamayim is achieving an avodah no less important than the avodah of Torah and Tefillah, but nevertheless, we need the akdama, the first priority, and sequentially we have to begin with Torah and Tefillah, and only then we get to, from Kana l'Veshet, to the achila, and the achila is a whole different type of an achila. Even though it's Veshet, it's really an achila of Kana. It's part and parcel of his avoda. What a beautiful presentation of the Chassam Sofer. And if we swing back to our original discussion about Seuda, we begin to understand why, in the case of the Shvatim coming into the Beis Yosef and being hosted by Yosef, come in to sit and eat a Seuda, that Seuda is going to be the Veshet following the Kana. We understand full well that the Tzaddik ben Tzaddik here in Yitzchak's case, he has the Sod of Tefillah, and therefore the Ayin Tuf Reish of the response of HaKadosh Baruch to Yitzchak is primary. And perhaps this can shed a light on the concept of Sudas Chanukah, because the Sudas Chanukah likewise represents the Kedimas Kana Leveshet. We're going to begin with Divrei Torah. We'll start as Sudu with Zmiros and Tishpachos. And finally, after the Kana and Vakol Kol Yaakov, we go on to Seuda, to the Veshet. And the Seuda takes on a whole different complexion. Before we get back to the concept of Seuda, I want to talk to you about an insight of Rav Moshe Chevroni in his Sefer Masas Moshe, which is a Sefer that's divided into different essays. We're looking at the 25th essay, Maimar Chafhei. He quotes the Gemara in Shabbos Peiches in the Sugya of Matan Torah, the Agadat of Matan Torah, Yom Hashishi. The Gemara points out that the creation was completed on Yom Hashishi by Vayichu Hashemayim Va'aretz. And that's a reference not only to the sixth day of creation, but also to the sixth day of the month of Sivan. The creation itself is in the balance. It's not yet complete until the sixth day of Sivan, when Klal Yisrael received the Torah. And the Masas Moshe gives a mashal. He speaks about the case of an architect who builds a building without a roof. As long as there's no roof to the building, it's open and exposed to the elements, you can call it a churva if you like. It's not a building. The completion of the building, after he puts up all the walls and he puts up the gag, that's when it becomes an edifice, a structure. And the Nimshal is Matan Torah. The world up until Matan Torah was a churva. It was missing those elements that would engender the status of a building. When the Torah was given, that's when it became a bias. The whole world became a bias. Before Matan Torah, there was Shamayim Va'aretz, that there was. There was Ruchnius and Gashmius. The Shamayim representing spirituality and the Aretz representing physicality. But they were two separate things. Shamayim up there and the Aretz down here. There was no connection between the two. As my Rebbe always wrote, you know, has written and over and over again in his writings, and especially in the Ish Halacha Halachic Man, with Matan Torah, the Shechina comes down over the mountain. There's a connection between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. And therefore in Kabbalah Satorah, we have a new reality, a new existence. And that reality represents the possibility, the potential of transforming Gashmius of Aretz into Ruchnius, into Shamayim. And the Masas Moshe, Rav Moshe Chavroni, applies this specifically to the area of Achila, of eating. We have to have the proper attitude when we eat. It's got to be Machshava Torah. We have to see and view the achila as if it was an achilas kodshin, an achilas hegdesh of a karban. The shasiyah, when we drink, it should be like the nesachim that were poured on the mizbeach. Everything physical becomes sanctified and elevated. The Gemara in Ksuvis on Daf Kufayim and Beis kol ha-mevi doron l'tavet chachan kilu hikriv shlamim, hikriv bikurim. It's as if you brought bikurim. The tavet chachan has the ability to upgrade elevate, I would say, the carbon, and you bring him a gift and he upgrades it, he elevates it to the level of a carbon. That's what carbonus is all about. It's the meeting, the overlapping, the interface between Ruchnius and Gashmius, Gashmius and Ruchnius, the Gemara Yuma, Daf Ayin Aleph, Harotza Nasech, Yain Al Gabi Mizbech, Yamale, Grono, Shel Tamid Chacham, Yain. When a Talmid Chacham drinks wine, he elevates the wine like Yinisa Chayayim, Libation on the Mizbech, Gashmius becomes Ruchnius. And the Mesil Sisharim dedicates an entire chapter to this theme in Perek Chavav. Mesil Sisharim, Perek Chavav. The Gemara Binyan, just like in the case of a building, you bring the walls, but you have to bring the roof. The roof might be brought from a different place, that roof it engenders the transformation of a churva into a bias. The gag itself, the roof itself, is like, it represents like Shamayim, and it's not yet connected to the ksolin, to the walls that surround this building. Because at this particular stage, when you still have a churva, you're talking about a ruchnius that's not yet integrated into the gashmius. He writes in his language, he says, Havichur b'di'ein ha-gag b'chubar l'ksolim kein ha-ksharuchnius ho'isa chaluka me'agashmius, when the skies representing Ruchnius hovered over the earth, but yet they were separate from the earth. The Ruach Nis is separate and detached from the Gashmis. Lo avi briya gemura. The process of creation wasn't complete. It's only after Matan Torah, when there could be an integration between Ruach Nis and Gashmis, they become one entity, Ruach Nis and Gashmis. You can elevate the Gashmis to Ruach Nis. Then Nasa Shamayim Varis Binyan Echa V'nigmara Briya. That's the Biyom HaShishi. The Biyom HaShishi, the completion of creation, is when there's a connection between Shamayim V'yaretz, when it becomes one Binyan, when the Shamayim as the Gag is attached to the rest of the building, to the walls of the building. That's the Gmar Binyan. That's the transformation from a Churva to Binyan. That's the Gmar Briya that is engendered by Kabbalah Satorah. And this applies to every individual. Every human being is made up of both Shamayim Va'aretz, the Neshama is Shamayim. It's a Chelek Eloka Mimal. The Guf is Ofer Min Adam. A man is a dual being. And he integrates both Shamayim and Aretz. The Nishmal Abriyasa, when does a man himself complete his own process of creation? It's when he accepts the Torah with his Kabbalah Satorah. He's the Shaman, his Guf, which were heretofore separate and detached, now become united. And that's the Gemara Briya, after Matan Torah, and only after Matan Torah does it become possible for the Guf to become Ruchni, and then the Briya is complete. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yudam in Beis, Vayehi biyom hashmini, Visanyo, we learned that Brisa Osa Yom Isa Simchol Neakodish Baruch Ki Yom Shenivru Bo Shamayim Vaaretz Ksiv Hachav Ayi Bayom Hashmini Uksiv Hasam Vayehi Yom Echad. The Vayehi Gzeir Shavaya teaches us that the Yom Hashmini, when the entire process of the Chanukah Samizbeach was complete, Chanukah Samishkan, that was the day of Simcha in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the day in which Shamayim V'aretz were created. Why is Hakamas HaMishkan attached to the creation of the world? What's the connection between the two? Why is the Yom HaShmini of Hakamas HaMishkan the day of Simcha Lefanav, like creation of Shamayim V'aretz? Apparently the Mishkan has that power of Shamayim V'aretz. The Mishkan itself represents the connection between the upper worlds and the lower worlds. And here's where I want to fast forward a little bit to Parshas Vayigash. Because in Parshas Vayigash, in Perek Mem Hei, Pasuk Yedalet, Vayipol al Tzavari bin Yomin Achiv Vayevk, Rashi says that Yosef fell on the tzavar, on the neck of Binyamin, and he was crying, Bach al shnei mikdoshes hasidim lios chelko shel Binyamin sofali charev. And the Sfarim explain that why is the word tzavar, the neck, in this case of Binyamin, the symbolic representation of Mikdash. Why the tzavar? And it's famous, and we've mentioned before the name of the Chassam Sofer, the name of the Shem Yishmuel, that the tzavar connects the head, the rush, with the other parts of the guf, that's the neck, and the rush, the head, represents the chelek haneshama of man, the divinity of man, the shamayim of man, whereas the guf represents the physicality of man, the Ofer Min Adam of man. And that's the greatness of the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash in this universe is the place, the location that pinpoints the connection between the Seichel of man, which is his Neshama, together with his other part, the Nefesh HaBahamis of man, which is his Guf, the Elyonim, the Tachtonim, the Shamayim Va'aretz. That's what the Beis HaMikdash is all about. That's the Tzavar. And we've discussed this in the past at great length. Now let's try to see if we can swing back a little bit to Chanukah. Having spoken about the significance and the centrality of connecting the upper worlds of spirituality with the lower worlds of physicality, the Matan Torah gives us that transition in which the Gag is put on the building, in which the earth and the creation is complete because now Shamayim and Arts become one, in which Achila, as we saw, the Kana, we have to be Makdim, the Kana Leveshet, the Achila of the Veshet has to come as a culmination of Kana, of Tefillah, of Torah study, of the eating itself of the meal becomes elevated to the highest level of Avodah, similar, says the Chasam Sofer, to that of Avodah HaTefillah, Avodah HaTorah. We spoke about the potential in Sudas Chanukah to upgrade and elevate that Suda to a level of Sudas Mitzvah. Let's talk a little bit about Yavon. What was the purpose? What was the agenda of the Yavonim against the Jewish people? The Medrash at the beginning of Parshas Bereishis, Tov Avohu, Zu Malchus Modai Choshech, Zu Malchus Yavon, Shechshicha Einem Shel Yisrael B'Gzeroseim, Shom Oiso Merislam Kisrael Keren Ashar, She'en Lachem Chilek Be'elokei Yisrael. So Yavon equals Choshech. And we want to study for a moment what this Choshech of Yavon represents. And if we look in the Ramchal, specifically in his work, Das Tfunos, he says, Elokim asa haguf hazeh chomer av v'chashoch. He identifies the Choshech with the guf. Bilti roi la'or, the or kedushos yisbrach v'nei mizgo ha'shofel. The physical body of man is like that of the animals. It's biological, it's physical. It doesn't deserve, really, it's not suitable for the R, for the light of sanctity. In and of itself, if the goof is, shall we say, detached as an independent entity, it belongs to the animal kingdom. It represents the Nefesh Bahamas of man. It's Shafel. It's completely detached from the R of Kedusha. It really has no license to enter into Kedusha. Ein lavo el shara melech, paraphrasing a pasuk in Esther, ulavaker beicholo a pasuk in Tilim, el shlemei achana. Man as a goof could only enter into the Kodesh when he's gone through a long and profound process of preparation. And ze achoshech, asher mutpuhu bechuko shal aguf hazeh. And that Choshech, which is really essential, it's embedded in the nature of the goof, is Hu Hasan Bekirbos called Taivas Haros Hasholtos. That is the source, the goof, the Choshech is the source of man's passions and those evil desires which control him. The Oso So Olu L'chol HaMikrim HaRoim HaMotzim Oso, it's the source of his downfall. If he allows the goof, Shlita, to control him, he ends up with Mikrim Roim. But on the other hand, says the Ramchal, V'zo Shenis Osa Neshama Tahora Chatzumi Mitachas Kisei HaKovid HaRido Nefacha B'toch HaGuf. God takes from the source of sanctity and purity, the highest levels, tachas kisei hakoved, and he brings down the neshama and puts it into the goof. This is what we have to understand. That the intention of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creating the neshama into the goof, in penetrating, so to speak, the neshama into the goof, is l'kshetichyoso b'chai evol ha'ela v'ol ikar b'yazu l'zakiko chozichu gomer. It's not that the goof is meant to bring down the neshama chas v'shom, on the contrary, the bia, the connection, the bringing of the neshama down into the goof is lezakech. It means to purify and elevate the goof. La losa mishefa madregas achomrius vechashucha el madreg el yona, to take the goof, which is on the lowest level of physicality, materiality, chashucha. It's dark. It's mufka from the R Elyon, the R of Kedusha, but to bring it into the Madreg El Yona, so the goof itself becomes uplifted and inspired. It becomes like Malachi Asharei, says the Das Tfunos. The goof has the capability of being like the Malachi Asharei. What an unbelievably beautiful statement about the purpose of creation and the bringing down from the neshama torah tzuva tachas kisei avodah, and to bring it down, all of a sudden blow it into the goof. Moshe Rabbeinu, really represents the paradigm of a person who is mezakeh his goof, his chamrius. He became like the Malach Yasharis, he goes up to the mountain. This is the purpose of man, this is the purpose of creation. But that's the choshech of Yavon, the choshech of Yavon. Yavon is not capable of seeing beyond the goof. Yavon will present the goof as the be-all and end-all, will parade around the goof, will parade the goof as, you know, as the mind-baggling behemoth of man, the bahamius of man, the physicality of man, and the exposure of the body of man. There is no kedusha, there's no sanctity, there's no neshama in Yavon, it's pure choshech. And we begin to understand why there's such an emphasis, not only on Seuda on Chanukah, as we said before, the Seuda, which is alluded to in the very parsha of Yosef and his brothers, Utfoach Teva V'Hachein, the Seuda, which is so important in Yontif, and of course in Shabbos as well, the Seuda that can be elevated from Veshet to Kane. The Suda, which represents the completion of creation insofar as it represents the Shemaim on the Aretz. The Tzavar, the Beis HaMikdash, which is like creation because it completes the purpose of connecting the Rosh with the Guf. All this is in Chanukah very upfront because we are fighting a battle against the culture of Yavon, which is the culture of Choshech Zumalchus Yavon Shech Shichayneim Shal Yisrael, the Choshech of the Guf, insofar as it's disconnected from the Neshama. And on Chanukah we light the Chanukah candles. And the Shem Yishmuel on Chanukah says that the Tzuras HaNer, if you look at the Ner carefully, what you'll see in front of your eyes is that Nimshach Achri HaPsila L'Slayv Be'ish, the Psila, the wick, is pulling the shemen, which is nimshach achra esh, and this movement of the ner pulling up is really a vision. It's a symbol of what everything that we are in this earth is all about, whatever we can be, whatever our potential is, whatever our goal is. Ner Hashem, Nishmas Adam, the Nisham is the Ner, just like the Ner is pulling upwards. And the Ner, we have to see through the Psila, is pulling up to Islavos of Eish. So too, the Nishmas Adam, that's the Ner Hashem. And the Adam has to be Nimshach Achra HaNishama, Lislaev Bi'or Ziv Shalmala. Ultimately, that flame represents, the flame of the Chanukah candles represents the flame of the R, of Ziv, of the beauty and the glory of Hashem, of spirituality. Is Samalcha Nafshi, Karmalcha Basari, my entire Nefesh, together with my goof, my Basar, is Tzama, is Kama, it desires and it longs and it craves that relationship of going upwards, of the Ner Hashem Nishmasad, to be pulled upwards, to the Eish and to the R of Ziv Shalmala. That's what we have as our challenge. The Ner is conveying to us constantly that challenge of being pulled up by the Neshama. The Guf has to be pulled up and elevated by the Neshama, not the reverse, Chas V'Shalom. We can achieve such a great goal, and the Suda of Chanukah is so central in that it represents our battle against the Choshech, the ability, the potential of Klal Yisrael to add R to replace the Choshech. That the Nishmas Adam should be the Ner that pulls up the goof. And finally, the issue of what should be the Ner of Chanukah. Whether or not we should use Shalva or Chelev or different kinds of candles made of Chelev and of wax. Is the Maral Prague is quoted here in the Sharet Zion and Simon Tafresh Ayin Gimel, with a very extreme and unique view, and it's his view as expressed in his book for Ner Chanukah, which is called Ner Mitzvah. Shalola Hadlik Chlal, we should not light at all from Shava, from Chelev, Dafka B'Shem in Zayis. Mipnei Shanes Nasa B'Shemen. The Ness is done with Shemen Zayis. Shemen Zayis represents the pure spirituality of intellect. The menorah, the Beis HaMikdash, represents Chachma. Our emphasis should be on Chachma, says the Maral Prague, as opposed to the Chachma of Yavon. But our minig is not like that. Our minig is to light with with all sorts of types of candles and oils and wicks. We use wax candles as well, and on Erev Shabbos, many of us are makbid to use wax candles if they last longer than the oil. And the reason for that is because even though the wax represents the lowest, perhaps, level of physicality, as opposed to the Shemen Zayis, which is pure intellect, and Chochmah, which is abstract, Sichlius, but nevertheless, we want to take even the physicality and bring it up. The Ner is always in a state of Aliyah, as we saw in the Shem Yishmul Tzuris HaNer, Shenimshach HaChapsil Islaiv Be'esh. The Eish represents the ultimate level, the Or of Hashem, the Or Ziv Shel Ponov Shel Mala, L'Slaiv Be'esh, the Slavus of Eish. It's the Ner Hashem Nishmas Odom, Yirotzen, it be His will that we dedicate ourselves on Chanukah to this concept of Or Keneged Choshech, of the Neshama pulling up the goof, the challenge of man to complete the Bria, both in terms of the Bria itself and in terms of his own individual experience. The symbol of the Seud of Chanukah as the center symbol of Achila, as we saw in the Chassam Sofer, being marked in the Kana to the Veshet, Yirotzen, that our Veshet will be like the Kana, be schlepped up, that everything we have in our bodies, everything we have in our physical material being should be uplifted and channeled towards Lamaila, towards greater spirituality, towards dedication and Avodas Hashem, with the Slavus of the Eish, which represents Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem. This is the challenge of Chanukah. May we be Zoche to live up to that great challenge and achieve the Oro Shel Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'mehir V'yomenu Amen.